tonight's CCL training. This is a weekly webinar program of CCLs that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is diversity, equity, and inclusion at CCL. We know that diversity, equity, and inclusion are natural outgrowths of our relationships and values that we have with integrity, personal power, and being nonpartisan, as well as enacting our core values as an ongoing process. And diversity helps all of us as CCL volunteers develop the best solutions to climate change and broaden that base of support needed for passing legislation. So tonight we're actually going to join CCL's Diversity Outreach Coordinator, Karina Ramirez, for a training that's going to review CCL's diversity, equity, and inclusion plans, internal processes that have been reviewed and developed over the past several years to ensure that we are, as an organization and volunteers within that organization, living our values and are committed to that continuous improvement. But with that, and pass it to Karina to take it from here for the rest of the training. Thanks again for joining us, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Buenas noches o buenas tardes, depending on where you are. I'm Karina Ramirez. I am the Diversity Outreach Manager for CCL. Prior to starting, just wanted to share a little bit about me. So I do that best with photography. As you can see, I am a mother. I am from Ecuador. At some point in my life, I was a ballroom dancer, little thing that people don't know about me. I am a postcard collector. So as you can see in the back, I've collected postcards since I was 12 years old. And almost all of them are signed by friends who know that I have an affinity and a curiosity to travel, a difficult thing to do in the times of COVID. But they travel for me. So that's why you see that there. And the picture towards the lower right is when I was in the field. I used to be a journalist prior to being an environmentalist. It was a career that I held for 10 years. And that picture is extremely, it's something that I share is because it was the time that I was covering the Pope and his visit to Philadelphia. And I was sitting on the steps while people were walking around writing a story. So yeah, those were definitely good times. We are celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, but prior to this, I just wanted to say I presently live in Florida right now, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't go past without making an acknowledgement. I wanted to offer respect and gratitude to the original inhabitants of the land where I now live, the Seminole, Tequesta, Yaga, and the Tainos people who have stewarded this land for generations. Hispanic Heritage Month started September 15th, so it is fitting that we have a CCU during the time frame. It ends October 15th. And as you know, it's the celebration of all the contribution that Latinos provide to the culture, the contributions, the history of the United States. So it's great to have this monthly celebration. If it was up to me, we would do it every single day. But we have this month. So what we're doing is we are celebrating on social media. You have four accounts right there in front of you. The Latinos Action Team is the account right now in English. So we are going to be sharing stories, sharing just things about our culture that people normally wouldn't see. So I invite you to follow if you haven't already. So three leading goals for tonight. I'm going to give you an overview of the National Diversity Works, the work that I am in charge of. We're going to highlight some of the work, the DEI work that's taking place in chapters and regions, in some of them inside CCL. And I'll give you some steps that you can take to begin the diversity work in your chapter. Again, in tonight's agendas, we're going to discuss this work, look at examples. I'm going to give you suggestions on what you can do, and we're going to host a question and answer period. So let's talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion if you haven't heard in previous presentations before. Diversity, in the simplest sense, is just the presence of difference between our organization. Generally, when we think of diversity, we're thinking of people and perspectives. Working on diversity means working to decrease the homogeneity of our organization. So we have more people in different backgrounds and experiences come to us. The equity part of the work, looking at the fair treatment of and the equal access of opportunities and advancements for all people, while at the same time striving to identify and eliminate barriers that have prevented the full participation of some groups in our space. And inclusion, looking at the inclusivity, meaning creating the space where people from diverse backgrounds can be and feel welcome and are able to fully participate. By respecting and actively inviting diverse viewpoints, we can create an organizational culture where we all feel valued and respected. For short, we call that DEI. So last fall, part of the DEI work included creating a plan, more like a visionary plan. And these were some of the staff members that were involved in creating that plan. And this is how I see my work. I thought it was very important for me to share the way I view it. Other people would view it extremely different. So I am in charge of helping at the staff level, providing training, guidance, follow-up, and I'm looking at this organization-wide. I'm also supporting the volunteers. I am meeting with people one-on-one, regionally, statewide, training, you name it, I've done it this year. Looking at what kind of support they need and how they can create inclusive chapters. In future work, I am also in touch with our DC office to sort of just learn about the different partnerships that they could have possibly in the future and offer support from my end. This is how I look at this work, and I want to be authentic with everything that I do. Queta Gonzalez helps organizations develop strategies to increase equity, diversity, and inclusion, and she has a role as director at the Center of Diversity and the Environment in Portland, Oregon. She said organizations that successfully attract and retain diverse staff and develop cross-cultural relationships are clear about their goals, transparent, and they accept feedback and are authentic. I want us to be this way. So our DEI plan. We established these goals in the fall of 2019. One of them involves education and training overall. Recruitment and training of our membership. We're looking at a volunteer leadership and what does that look like at all levels of the organization. Their staff and regional coordinators. We want to be able to recruit and retain people of diverse backgrounds and experiences. We're also looking at our board members, trying to see, you know, the needs that need to be reflected throughout the organization, and also looking at our partnerships and alliances to expand and include like-minded organizations. Why do we want to do this? We decided we want to diversify our organization at all levels, as I said previously. We want to continue to see where we can change and improve. This is an ongoing process. Diversity is not something that's going to take place in a year. So we are just in the beginning stage, and it's good to be in this stage. There's going to be challenges, and all I'm asking people is just to, like, you know, help me help you. And again, we want to be authentic, and we want accountability. In April of 2019, we wrote a diversity value. This was a value that was put together by several staff members. Initially, when we put it together, we had everything but socioeconomic factors. And the reason why it changed, I was at one of the conferences and someone came up to me and they said, hey, I love the diversity value. It doesn't include socioeconomic factors. Could you please include it? So we went back to the folks that we voted, and Mark Reynolds approved it, and this is the change. So I'm also keeping track of all of the different changes that we make throughout the organization when it comes to diversity in general. As an organization, this is where we are. There's a demographic survey that gets sent out to volunteers 4 months after they join. That's what Tony Sterner has mentioned to us. So we are keeping track of this. Right now, this is what it looks like as far as age. We are recruiting people that are younger than 40. But the majority of our members continue to be from older than over 65 years old. So is there. There's something that we're working on. But as you can see, the line is getting thinner. So it's nice to see the participation of young people coming to CCL. This is where we are on race. We are an extremely wide organization. We have a long way to go until we reach the 40% people of color national average that you would see in other organizations. But things are getting better. And this is a demographic by political affiliation. We have more Democrats than Republicans in the organization. So if you see focus on having programs that particularly reach the conservatives, this is why. As a bipartisan organization, we are trying our best to make sure that we have the balance that we need in order to continue to be bipartisan. But again, it's ongoing work. The demographic data, as I'm able to see the questions, it's the survey that gets sent out to people as they join. I don't know exactly how that process is made, but I just know that there's a demographic survey that gets sent to volunteers. So now I'm going to give you the highlights of our DEI plan as it stands right now. So it was best to be able to divide this work by department because there is just a lot of things that are taking place. So the volunteer department has 10 items. It's owned by 3 staffers, and there's a lot of people involved in what we're trying to keep track of. What does that work look like? We're looking at developing materials for volunteers. How to welcome diverse people into the chapters and keep them engaged. It's like one of the many questions that I've been asked since I started this work. Another work that I have done is we have updated our weekly information session, the one that Ellie runs on every Wednesday, to include DEI information. We're looking at developing materials, and we added a new DEI section to the volunteer page. Other volunteer work, what does climate advocacy training look like when it includes DEI? There have been some chapters that have done some changes. We're looking at this nationally to make sure that everybody has the same information. But I think with it, like every kind of presentation we do, a lot of our messaging has to change depending on the region where we are. We're also looking at the online version of that training. Questions that we get asked often is how do we build relationships and alliances with diverse populations? I am personally in charge of the inward work of CCL, that is inviting people to come to us and retaining them. But there's a lot of conversations that are taking place nationally as far as like partnership with other groups. And I get those questions, but I forward that to the respective people over in the DC office. Other work that also has fallen into the volunteer department is looking at programs that deal with environmental justice, anti-racism, and information to build cultural competency. I am personally working on an anti-racism training that hopefully can be available soon. Again, an ongoing process. I'm hoping to have it done before the end of this year. Marketing, communication, and social media. There have been 6 items. It's owned by 4 staffers. This area is completely new. It wasn't something that we wrote in the original vision of the DEI plan. What does that area look like? We're looking at whatever stories we're sharing of underrepresented groups throughout our social media and in our media message and stories. We did have volunteered videos that you saw last year, which was something that it was wonderful to see, to be able to see just the diversity that we have and the work that our volunteers are doing. Keeping track of the photography that we use, right? Everything is about like what kind of presentation we want to make out there that could keep us being as inviting as an organization that we are. In the Spanish language area, I have been working with Tammy Kellogg, who is our main translator for our Spanish work, and ensuring that we have information that can be shareable in English as well as in Spanish. This is done every month. The speaker crows, you would see them, and you can see them in our social media pages. That is now being shared in Spanish. It took a while to be able for us to like just partner up and be like, hey, how can we work together to be able to provide this information in Spanish to meet our audience? The Human Resources Department has a total of 10 items, and it's owned by 3 staffers. And again, a lot of this work involves so many other people. 3 things that I can highlight from that work: developing staff training and offering DEI training for just the staff in general, exploring what our systems of hiring are and looking at those recommended changes, announcing job openings internally and externally. It was one of the main things that people wanted to look like, and we are beginning to do that work. We're keeping track of our national conferences, 6 items, 2 staffers, but like everything else, there's several people involved in who comes to a regional conference, who gets invited. And a lot of work goes into our national conferences, looking at the speakers for a specific target group that we want to be able to highlight. What does the plenary look like? What does the climate advocacy training session look like? Who comes to the Saturday seminar and the Sunday and the Monday breakout? And we're tracking all of that information so that we can make sure that we are keeping our word as far as like extending diversity throughout the organization. We're also offering financial assistance. It's something that we have done for the last couple of years in order to ensure that people can have the DC experience. Something that we have been unfortunately unable to do this year because of COVID, but it has been done for the last 2 years. We're keeping track of our monthly calls. This is work that Madeline Pera does. because we also want to make sure that whatever information we're putting out there to our volunteers does have diversity. So as you can see here, we have invited someone that speaks about conservative outreach and bipartisanship and health. The latest was Tina Johnson and her discussion about environmental justice. So we're definitely keeping tabs of everyone that we invite and the kind of information that we're presenting to all of you. So let me tell you a little bit about something that I just came up with this year. And I say came up with because, like everything else, you know, we are designing things as we're going along. So when I started this role, it's just basically myself as your DEI manager and Priscilla Talley, who does the DEI work on a part-time basis. So I felt that I needed more help. So I created this new position called Community Reps, the representatives. It's a volunteer position. And the idea is to have one or two people per region that can help me answer questions when it comes to this work, who could be my representatives. So along with these wonderful individuals that you see on your screen, Natalia, Sue, Juan, Lydia, and Shelley, we meet on a weekly basis. They're the ones that are helping me right now put together the anti-racism training for you. And I have charged them with learning about what is taking place at the chapter level. The organization is extremely big. I cannot. and I think I spent the first 4 months of this year just trying to find out what in the world are we all doing together when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So when you see these wonderful folks, extend your wonderful hand and just thank them for stepping up and helping us. Trying to keep track of our diversity work at regionally. Like everything else, you know, the real change that's going to take place in the organization, it's going to take one step at a time. I've been thinking a lot about the loss of the Supreme Court justice. And when I was putting together this presentation, that was the one message that I want to make sure that you understood. If this is long extended work, again, it's not something that's going to change our organization magically in a year. But I think that we are committed. And that's why I am here, helping all of us. I wanted to highlight some of the work that has taken place in the local chapters. This has been interesting for me to see. I want to thank the following individuals that you're going to see in the next couple of slides for the work that they have been doing. Overall, this is what they have shared with me. And this is what happens in almost all the different spaces that are working on DEI. We want to build belonging. We want to hold space for people. We want to trust and believe the people of color, and we are entering into countercultural spaces. All of this in order to create the diversity that we want to see. In the area of Arkansas, our wonderful Shelley has been working with volunteers there for a couple of years now, and this is what she said. Basically, we reached out, respect, made room, and encouraged leadership and make friends, and are immensely enriched by the knowledge, experience, and intelligence of our friends who are people of the global majority. She mentioned to me that they are constantly putting the people of color front and center in their lobby meetings. They are participating in the community events, and this has helped expand the chapter. Now they have leaders that are people of color, something that they would not have been able to do before if they have not done their work of trying to get to know the community around them. Louisiana, Priscilla Talley has been extremely busy since she joined the organization. If you have seen a lot of her presentations, she just wants community. So she thinks of her work in this way. I want everyone to think of this in an innovative way and not be afraid to take risks and also to reduce people's defensiveness so that we can make sound decisions together. But none of these things can happen if we don't have a strong sense of psychological safety. And this is what she means by psychological safety. Believe that one will not be punished or humiliated for speaking up with ideas, questions, concerns, or mistakes. She encourages people to become a multi-sector collaborator, often asking people, what are other communities already working on? Like, go find out what the community is working on. And what can we bring at the table as a climate advocate to support that work? As you know, she runs the Climate and Culture Action Team since March of 2019. They spent the first year just growing the group, and now they're working on inclusion. And it has been fantastic to experience her meetings on a monthly basis. If you haven't attended a Climate and Culture Action Team, I highly suggest that you do. Other areas and people doing work, it's so encouraging to see that Virginia has taken on the role of creating a statewide DEI team. They created one in July of last year. They started simply by just having a film reading and books events. And now they're developing a plan of action to include DEI into the five levers of political will. I am excited to see their work because I am hoping to see what we can apply in other chapters. And maybe we can create something. But then again, you know, I'm looking at what everybody's doing. In the Pacific Northwest, they started with a working group in March of this year. 15 people participated from different areas. They created materials for the lobby meetings with the progressive members of Congress because there were questions about where, how do we handle environmental justice. So it is very encouraging to see this work and to know that it wasn't something that I told people, you know what, you have to do this. This is individual initiative that has taken place inside of different areas. And I am seeing work in the DC chapter. So Ms. Debbie Chang over there doing some great work, having some great discussions with people about diversity. And I just learned at the Santa Rosa chapter in California, created a diversity and inclusion team. And I am looking forward to just seeing the result of that work. Other areas where diversity is taking place that you might not have heard of. So our action teams have been busy. The Catholic action team created a subgroup earlier this year. And the purpose for them was to have a presentation focus on outreach to Latinos. And they created this presentation. They had two pilot presentations where they're inviting people in Spanish to come and join the Catholic action team and talk about just the Pope and his vision for care and creation. And again, another work that we would not have thought about before. So they're working closely together with the Latino outreach team to try to see what they can do together. These are all of our affinity groups. It's amazing for me to see. When I came to CCL in 2017, my only purpose was to have something in Spanish. That was it. I wasn't thinking that all of this was gonna get created. But you know, through conversations and just people either stopping me at the conferences or people just calling and emailing, this is the result of all of those internal conversations. Climate and Culture started in 2018. The People of the Global Majority in 2018. LGBTQI plus allies this year. The Asian Pacific Action Team this year. And Amplifying Indigenous Voices this year. And Amplifying Indigenous Voices is less than 3 months old. It's a group that is just beginning. And again, I'm happy to see this work and happy to support it. I attend every single one of these meetings whenever I can because I feel that if I don't learn what the teams are working on or if they have any challenges, we don't have a way to respond on a national level. So I invite you also to join. The only team that you cannot actively participate in if you are a white person is the People of the Global Majority because that is a team for people of color. And that was created particularly because I felt that we needed a safe space where we could be ourselves. Oftentimes I come across volunteers that have not had good situations inside their chapters. So as a way to respond, I've created that team to be like, okay, let's have a conversation if there's anything that I can support you with or help you with. And we have a core group of 10 people that show up on a monthly basis at most, just to talk about what is happening and also just to support each other. The PGM Caucus also created a playlist because we're like, okay, we're having difficult days. We're gonna go listen to a playlist. So there is a playlist that is now available for anyone and it's just filled with music from all different kinds of regions. So you can see the different cultures that are inside the team. So next steps, as you can see, this is really what I want to do. That's a lot of work. So I get up early in the morning to go watch the sunrise because I have my days. But there are things that are taking place right now. We started the DEI committee at the national level so that we can track all of these 30 plus initiatives that we have in our diversity plan. Now until the end of the year, I am personally focusing on volunteer training because it's the one thing that has been requested from the volunteers. I am seeking more community reps. So if you know of anyone who has particular background in grassroots outreach and would be interested in leading their region, let me know. If that person is yourself, please send me an email. I'll be happy to talk to you. And I'm going to continue to develop systems throughout CCL that focus on inclusion and accountability. So we're going to have a breakout activity. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And you can partner up with someone. I want you to discuss, what did you learn tonight? I know it's a lot of information, but I want you to sort of explore, what would you be willing to try out in your chapters if you haven't? And if you have, I want you to be able to share a story of how you work on diversity in your chapter. Let's go back and talk a bit about what you can do. So encouraged with the work that I'm seeing, you can create your own diversity and inclusion team in your chapter if you haven't developed one already. What kind of work goes into that? Anything from book clubs, which is at, you know, the beginning conversation. I've seen film screening take place that I have personally been invited to. People have discussed stories that they have seen in the media. We've talked about just what is happening right now in our country in certain conversations. You can host a discussion based on what our speaker this month, Tina Johnson, said about her comments on environmental justice. I mean, you can design your team however you want, depending on the needs of your chapter. You can support this work. I can't ask you enough. I can't do this by myself. It's too much. I ask that if you see something, say something. If there are situations that rise up, I need to know about them, because we cannot answer, correct a mistake, or make any changes if I don't know what's going on. So I plead to please keep a close eye with your volunteers, and just let me know, and we can have conversations. I've done it with many people, so we continue to have discussions. Again, there are no dumb questions in this work. Continue to ask questions and hold me accountable. And what I mean by that is, as you can see, there's a lot of work on my table. I am sure at some point I will forget something that I had mentioned somewhere. So you can serve as a reminder. You can send me a line and be like, hey, where we are in this particular area of the DEI plan. You can do this. This is your organization. And again, you know, just continue asking those questions. Other areas that I wanted to share of just things that we've had out there. Along with the community reps and with Princella, we created a list of recommendations that I plan to do on a monthly basis. These are all links that could be available to you after the presentation. It has a list of just things that you can do in your chapter that deal with DEI. Since it is Hispanic Heritage Month, the Latinos Action Team created a guide for you on how to celebrate. It's a 12-step thing of things that you can do to support Hispanic heritage. One of the things that I highlighted in that particular guide is the importance of the census. Right now, the Latino community is in fear of being severely undercounted. You can promote the census count in your chapter, and that is one way that you can support this month and the celebration. We do have a social account. There's one called CCL Diversity on Twitter. And that particular account is just to be able to highlight the work of the action team. I wanted to share information that I have learned, share stories of things that are impacting our work. So you can look into that Twitter account that is being run right now by a volunteer for the Climate and Culture Action Team and from our DEI intern. For the first time, we have an intern focus on DEI. There's also a list in Linktree of all of the action teams that I personally work with. All of that information is available for you. It's just all the action teams, and hopefully you can meet them. I ideally would like you to do this once a month if you can, but go learn about what they do. Participate, get to know the members. And there is a training that was done earlier this year by our wonderful Priscilla Talley that discusses building diversity and more diverse and inclusive chapters. I invite you to go visit that presentation, revisit it if you haven't already. It gives you good tips on how to start, if you haven't, creating more inclusivity. So I wanted to end today's training with this idea. There's a lot of in a lot of the spaces that I'm at that talk about diversity, the word decolonization shows up over and over and over again, especially in the Latino community. So I was reading an article by Jose Riva. It got published in a publication called Yes Magazine. And in 2018, they had an entire issue dealing with decolonization and the perspective of Native American community. So this is what it said. Decolonization starts with you. It is a lot about finding compassion and kindness and less about anger and fear. We should remember that it begins with an internal process of healing and reconciliation. Once we find that peace, then we will be able to move forward and unify as people. We must remember that we are all related. When I look at this diversity work, I think about how we're all related. I believe that we must acknowledge our history, work on our own reconciliation, and take the necessary steps to move forward. So with that, I want to thank you for being with us today. And that's it. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Karine. On behalf of all of us on the line here, we are profusely and profoundly thankful for you and your team, the larger effort really being done throughout our organization to be mindful of the efforts that we can take on individually and within our chapters to build and broaden that banner. So thank you for helping us really understand the importance of it and the goals for how to really achieve that.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Karina. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.